You know, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Brother Hollis was telling me today that he is beginning to realize what I say about being a Christian, how wonderful it is to be a Christian. And he was telling me, he said, you know, Brother Pike, he said, this thing that you're preaching about Calvary, he said, it has done something to me. He said, I've come to understand what you're saying about this thing happening as to the fullness of time at Calvary and where we're at since then. And he was standing there and he was getting so jubilant. I tell you, he was having himself a time and his eyes filled up with tears. And he said, this thing is so real. He said, I never seen nothing like this in all my life. And you could tell that he really has come to understand. And he was really enjoying it. Even little Thomas came. Oh, Brother Thomas, he came to me, was it yesterday? When was it Thomas came to me? And he said, I really got something out of that service the other night. So I saw something, Brother Pike. And that agrees with what I had said, that it's going to come to pass that some of our young boys and girls is going to begin to get into Revelation. And I could tell the way Thomas talked that he obviously had seen something that was revelated to him. I like the way Brother Atlee put it today in talking. We was talking about the different things of God, the coming of the Lord. And Brother Atlee said, you know, he said, I can see that, Brother Pike, about what you're teaching. Said, where you teach that his glory he'll not give to another. Said, I see that. Said, he couldn't give it to another. Said, he couldn't give it to another. See, if he did, they'd have eternal life. So that's true. See, this glory, the world can never have it. They cannot see when good comes. They can never have what we was talking about the other night. We was talking about the illumination, the light, the illumination. The bulb is illuminated by the light. But the light is a derivative of the power that's getting to a living receptacle. You have to be a living receptacle. So then there is a power that brings a light, that brings a glorification. And this glorification will only be given to the children of God. It's His glory that He will not give to another. Will only be given to the children of God, because if they receive this glory, they would be illuminated. And if they were illuminated, they'd be saved. Now, right now, they are illuminated to this extent that there is a dark light that they see as to Moses, the light, the veil that's over the face of the people, even in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ, and only in Christ is it done away with. That is to say, done away with that you may see face to face and not through a glass darkly. So there is a light that is dark, and the Bible said, if this light, this dark light be in you, how great is that darkness? And the darkness there would be just like the sunlight shining over here. And in the sunlight is shining over here, then the dust rises out here. And the dust gets between you and the sunlight. And you have a light, but you have a light darkly. It is a light darkly. You can't see the light real good. That is to say, within your inner being, there's something that rises up, an infiltration. It comes up. And that light, before you're born again, that infiltration comes up and it gets between you and God. So between your life on the inside and God, the great light, the body has taken on an infiltration. And Paul said, within the body there dwells no good thing, which means your human senses are recording that which is evil. And it gets between you and God. So you see God, but you see Him through a glass darkly, as to say, through your intellectual concept of God, your intellectual mind. That is the light. Understanding is a light. And that understanding that you are acquainted with is a dark light. So through that intellectual concept, you see God, but it is as to the tree of knowledge, because iniquity, having overtaken Adam and Eve, is standing between their children and God. So then that infiltration as to the veil is still there. This is the veil that Isaac took off of the face of Rebekah when he took her into the mother's chamber, into the secret places. That is to say, New Jerusalem, the Bible said, the mother of us all. When you enter into that secret place of the heavenly Jerusalem, Then the veil is moved off of your face. That is to say, in Christ, the veil is done away with. It's the veil of death, the intellectual reasoning that is a derivative from the tree of knowledge. That veil of death that overtook Adam and Eve. So then this is a wonderful thing. Salvation is a wonderful thing. Christianity is the greatest thing that has ever been given to mankind, not just inasmuch as it's eternal life and as the Bible said, godliness profitable for this life as to your protection, but it's the most outstanding thing just to be able to get into, to venture out into faith and to begin to unravel the great mysteries of Almighty God. I could spend a lifetime with great enthusiasm, just entering into the Spirit, just to know about these great, marvelous, eternal things as to the value of eternal securities. See, it would be so wonderful. If you never got eternal life out of it, it would be a thrill just to be able to see these things, whereas you can't do that, because in seeing those things, you will have eternal life. Those that see them, the Bible said, and he that overcometh shall eat of the hidden manna. And Revelation is your hidden manna. See, it's what's hidden. It's hidden. The Bible said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wise and the prudent and made it revelation unto babes such as will learn. So this is the hidden manna. See, this is the hidden manna. Jesus said, I have food to eat that ye know not of. So this is the hidden manna. But to have this, you have to overcome the flesh. You have to overcome the desire of having cars and having land and having frolics, having, getting into the passions and all these things of the world. You have to lay those things aside. Overcome. Overcome. We sing that song, we'll overcome. See, you overcome. You overcome and you overcome. And after a while, it's not you living, but Christ. You've killed out the flesh. You've killed out the desire of the flesh. And then it's Christ living, and all of the things of God will come to Christ. The Bible said the things of God knoweth no man, no man's spirit, and won't come to no man's spirit. Man's things know man's spirit, so they come to man's spirit. God's things know God's spirit, and when you get God's spirit, then all them heavenly treasures will come to God's spirit. Wonderful. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Jesus is to me. Some of you are coming to the place to where you are deeply interested in spiritual things. I can tell that you are. You're not leaving off with the world enough, or you really would get into them. But I can tell that you're deeply interested in the things of God. I've got a young girl here that in the past, she wouldn't have given 15 cents for listening to me talk about spiritual things. But all of a sudden, I noticed in the last month or two that her interest has turned so keenly toward the things of God that she listens very carefully. And I can tell different ones that in the past, they have not perceived of the heavenly things. And now they're beginning to move in more and more and more. And that means that the translation of the church has to be nearby. When the youth starts rising up, coming into the things of God, that means that the translation is close at hand. That's the last move of God, when the youth, not when the youth just starts coming to church. It's been for years that hundreds and millions of youth have flooded the church. But that don't mean anything. Basketball and whatever they do and whatever plans they got and social parties. But when the youth begins to move into revelation, then that means that that's the end of the way. That's the last of it. But I'm just going to read a little bit to you. Comment a little bit, because even though in my heart I could just get into revelation and wade in some deep water tonight, and there's some of you that are hungering and thirsting enough that you could get in there with me. And we could wade in the deep water. Like it was said to the prophet, he said it's like up to the ankle, it's up to the knee, it's up to the waist as he waded in the water. Chapter 5 in the book of Romans, if you've got your Bibles. You know, I would like for us to learn the secret of receiving the revelation. The secret of receiving the revelation is always by the way of Calvary. by the way of the cross. Like tonight, it's a little cool. Tonight, the spirit of revelation would come because you would have to deny yourselves. See, deny yourselves. You'd have to deny your body and fasten it in, you know, to the things of God and say, you're going to stay here. You know, you say to the flesh, you ain't going nowhere. The devil can gnaw on you like a worm, but you ain't going nowhere. You're going to sit here because I'm going to listen. You know, as to the inner man, the outer man perishes, yet the inner man's renewed day by day. But as a rule, people don't do that. So they don't get very many spiritual things from God. It's like fasting. You start fasting and you're just liable to see an angel appear to you if you really get down to business. Chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, we're understanding here no knowledge. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, is abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offenses death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are? To whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things wherefore you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and becoming servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I'm going to let you turn the heaters back on and just talk to you a little bit like I have in years past. When we had to run the heaters. Turn your heaters back on. Turn all of your heaters back on. I didn't want them on while we were reading the scripture because I wanted you to embed that within your heart. I'm just going to try to say a few scattered things tonight, a few scattered remarks, and then try to let you go unless the Lord gets into it or unless... the Lord shows me to do different. Now, Paul in chapter 7, following the things that I read to you chapter 5 and chapter 6. And in chapter 7, he goes on to liken this thing to a marriage. And he illustrates by speaking of a man and his wife. And he tells how that the woman is bound to her husband so long as he lives. Now, he is likening that to the law. She is bound by the laws of her husband to her husband so long as he lives. I know in the day we're living in, it's a sinful, adulterous generation. They marry today and they decide that ain't the right rib, and they get them another one and another one and another one, and they have problems finding their rib. But nevertheless, it is a true fact that you are supposed to marry one time in your life, and that's the only time. You're not supposed to marry twice in your life, just one time in your life, and that's all that you're supposed to marry. You marry a wife, that's it. And it would be difficult in the day that we're living in to tell when a man's got a wife and when he hasn't got a wife, or a wife's got a husband, or whether she doesn't have a husband. They have intermingled so much in the lust of the flesh with one another until there would be a dozen wives or a dozen husbands just to the average individual in the world, according to the Old Testament teachings. In that, in the Old Testament, if you humbled a woman, you had to marry that woman, you know, or you had to do something concerning her with her father. And in the day that we're living in, we just got Jesus. The only way that he could term it seemingly is that it's just a sinful, adulterous generation. You know, they've lusted after so many. They've intermingled themselves with so many. Not just the man, but the woman. Not just the woman, but the man. Until it's just a trashy generation. It's a trashy subject. My whole thing is just, it's a garbage. It's just a heap of garbage, an unclean, filthy thing. So it's a bad situation. But it doesn't change the laws of God. It doesn't change the Word of God. The Word of God still emphatically states that a woman is bound to her husband so long as he is alive. She can leave him. She can put him away. I know it's been said, I understand this, you know, it says the man can put away the woman, but the woman cannot put away the man. When I say these things, I don't say them to be contrary to anybody. I don't say them to prove my point. I'm not interested in trying to prove my point. I'm saying them because the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And as a minister of righteousness, I must speak the word of God. And the word of God emphatically states that if a man puts away his wife for any other reason, it doesn't matter what kind of reason it is, for any other reason, and marries another, has committed fornication. And it has been said that the woman cannot put away the man. But the Bible says, if a woman puts away her husband for any other reason, married another, then it is fornication. So it doesn't matter whether the woman or the man, they both have the right, in the sense of biblical terms, they can put away their companion for fornication. And if they put away for any other reason, then they are in trouble. So it's very obvious that a woman can put away her husband, just like a husband can put away the wife, which they do every day. See, but I only said that to try to bring out a point. And that is, this is likening to a marriage. When you marry, you have found your rightful body. The woman thus becomes your body. She is your body. You should treat her like that. To love your wife as Christ loved the church, because the church is his body. And Paul said this is a great mystery concerning the church. When you marry a woman, the woman, when you marry a man, then that has become your body. You say, for better or for worse. You know, you are married, and until death, you are bound. You are bound. So then when you marry a wife, then you have that wife until death, because that is your body. You're married to that woman, and that woman is your body. So, as I say so many times, the dispute is over the body. That is your body. The way you treat her, that's the way you treat your body. You will be brought into the judgment in the day of God according to the way that you've treated that wife, because that is your own flesh. That is your own body. So then it's very obvious that when you marry, you have taken on your body, bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, and in God's sight, you're no longer twain, you're one flesh. And if you sin against that woman, you have sinned against your body. That's why the Bible said every sin is without the body, except the sin of fornication. And he that sinneth the sin of fornication sins against his body, because that automatically severs the ties right there. And I brought out the things the other night as to the degraded side of it, as to what happens when you lower yourself to a standard of such trash. See, that is your body. Eve was Adam's body. That was his body. The Bible said that Adam was a type and a shadow of Jesus who was to come. He was called the Son of God. And see, your body, when you marry a woman, that's your body. And now this is one, just one unit, one body, a man and his wife, just one. So then, as I said the other night, the man, he reproduces his image by the body. And without a body, he cannot reproduce his image. So then, God made a man and a woman to liken this, in that we cannot see spiritual things, to liken this unto the spirit and the human body. So then, we look at a man and a woman, and we look at the little family of reproduction to reproduce a clean, holy, godly thing to reproduce. It's only trash in the mind of them that are trashy. But to reproduce and multiply to replenish the earth. So then we look at it. Here is a picture of God and the church. Jesus and the church. Jesus, the quickening spirit. So then we realize that God is the spirit and we are the body. And that God hath no way, that is Christ, God, the only God there is, Christ. God hath no way to reproduce his image except through the human body. That's why that he reproduced his image through Jesus. See, when he took the body of Jesus, he married the body of Jesus. And Jesus in travail at Calvary brought forth the first of sonship. So then that body was the fullness of the body as to the Godhead. The great Spirit of God went into that body in the fullness and reproduced his image as to call it the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Christ. And of course, someday that body will return. But today, you and I, we're the body. See, you're bone of his bone and you're flesh of his flesh. Because his seed, even the seed of God, the Bible said, and the seed of God remaineth in us, and we cannot sin because we're born of God. We're born to the seed of God. See, the seed of Christ. Christ is the seed of God. So then I have Christ inside, and Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you, which is the minister's job. Christ Jesus at Calvary travailed. So I am a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are members in particular. The same as Jesus is in his complete entireness, so are you in a measure. You are Christ in a measure. You are the reproduction of God. The Spirit is reproducing. He's using your body to reproduce his image on the inside. But that image on the inside is only as to the membership, as to the measure that you allow in your life. As to that measure, so are you toward the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So then you are a measure. See, but he's still reproducing. You're still his body. And he's going to present you, as Paul said, blameless body, soul, and spirit in his presence. See, he wants to save your soul. He wants to save your spirit. He wants to save your body. Angels don't have bodies. They can never enjoy life the way that we're going to enjoy. We can enjoy life because we're going to be preserved in a bodily form. And when the new earth comes in, just like the restored millennium, we're going to enjoy the bodily part. Because, see, life must be manifested through a body. You've got to manifest life through a body. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Life has to be manifested through a body. He made a body. He made a garden. He made a creation. He made a world. So that he could live in the body and be partakers of the natural creation that he had made. This is why Paul says that carnal things are not wrong. To have a car, it's not wrong. To have a good, healthy body, it's not wrong. The body is the Lord's. See, to have houses and lands and money and these things, that's not wrong. If you just have it by the stacks, that's not wrong. By the barnfuls, that's not wrong. See, to have these things is not wrong. Paul said, I've sown unto you spiritual things. He said, people have need of carnal things and ought to be partakers of them. While I'm going this way, you ought to help supply my needs as to the carnal things, he said. If others are partakers, am not I the more? So there was nothing wrong with the carnal things. But the one thing that I've emphasized to you that is wrong, it is wrong, and that is to be carnally minded. For to be carnally minded is death. Anytime you've got your relatives on your mind, you've got passions on your mind, you've got eating and drinking on your mind, you've got the land where you come from as the land of Egypt on your mind, trying to get back to it. Anytime you have these kind of things as the laugh and talk and joke and backbite, whatever. See, you are defiling yourself because you're becoming carnal minded. And the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity to God, and to be carnally minded is death. It comes from the fall. Lucifer is the one that brought it because he's made the prince of this world. And he savors the things that are carnal, the things that be of the flesh. And the Bible says that the people of carnality are taken into his captivity at his desire, at his will. Anytime he can take them into captivity. You know why he can do that? The Bible speaks of being under bondage again to the beggarly elements of the world. As long as you're carnally minded, you've got a carnal desire. And you're going to stir up your five human senses as to desire those things that be of the world. And as long as you're relating to the things that be of the world and have the desire of the world, and that the Bible said if the desire of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. As long as you have that desire, the devil can just catch your attention with movies, television, automobiles, anything. It doesn't matter what it is. All he's got to do is make everything dazzle a little bit, sparkle a little bit, create an interest. And just like that, he's got you under bondage. He takes you into captivity anytime that he wants to. But a man that's got God on the inside of him, if it's Christ on the inside of you, whatever the measure is, as to this Christ on the inside of you, the devil can't take you into captivity. He can't get your attention. It doesn't matter if it's cars. He can put anything before you that would be lust, the gullible desire of the flesh, whatever it might be, he will never get a hook in you. He'll never catch your attention. Now, if you are enticed, the Bible said, then you're drawn away of your own lust. And when lust conceives, iniquity is born within you, the image of the devil. And when that comes forth, as to the end of that, it is death. So then he can do anything that he wants to you, but he can't make you sin because he can't entice you to draw you away from your steadfastness in God because you will not be enticed by it. He that is born of God cannot sin. You people that are always enticed and going out there and getting entangled in the things of the world, and you come back and repent and you say, Lord, I didn't mean to do it. That you're not a Christian. You're not right with God. It's not a matter of whether you meant to do it or not. You just wasn't born again. That's why you did it. See, you still have the love of the world, or you never would have went after it. The Bible said if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. So when you drift out there, you know, and you get entangled in those things, it means that you don't have God's Spirit on the inside of you. But brethren, when you get God's Spirit on the inside of you, you won't be drifting out there and drifting back. There won't be any more drifting out and back. As the Bible says, you need an anchor for the soul. You'll have an anchor for the soul, and the winds might blow. You might, as some boats seem to get in a tailspin sometimes with the winds blowing every way, but that anchor's got you. You'll stay right there. See, so there is an anchor off the soul. You that stumble when you're doing your very best. You're doing your very best. You stumble along sometimes. That doesn't mean that you've sinned against God. Neither does it mean that you are without. It doesn't mean that you've been cut off from the things of God. It doesn't mean that you've been taken away from the things of God. You understand what I'm saying? How do you understand what I'm saying? See, it does not mean that you are cut off from the things of God. When you stumble and when you stagger, that doesn't mean that you're cut off from God. When you stumble and stagger, that's what the blood atonement is for. That's why Jesus gave his blood at Calvary, so that when you stumble and stagger, there would be nothing coming up before the Heavenly Father. He hath made you perfect. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sanctified them once and for all by his efforts at Calvary. So then that means that when you stumble out there, it doesn't mean a thing. You haven't lost out with God. You've not sinned against God. And that's why the Bible says, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over those things which he alloweth. You know, when the allowance here is not a willful allowance, it's not something that you willingly allowed, because there is not any conscience of sin within you. How could you then willfully allow for that? It is something that the creature has been overtaken in that the creature, which is the body, is subject to the vanity of these of the world and these things of the world. And the Bible said the creature being subjected to vanity, not Solomon said all is vanity, not willingly inside, it's not a will, but being subjected to the vanity in hope, in that God will bring the creature to a redemption. For the Bible said, and the creature itself groaneth and moans, and it's pleading. See, it longs to come into that of the sons of God. And the creature itself shall also be brought into the liberties of the sons of God. The creature is not as of now in the liberty of the sons of God. The body has not yet been redeemed, so it's not enjoying the liberty of the sons of God, only to the extent that when you utilize Christ's ability within you as the faith, and then you'll bring it into this wonderful thing, like taking a plane off, you're up here and then you're back down on the ground. See, but this body one day will come into a completeness as to a change which is called the liberty of the sons of God. And when it comes into the liberty of the sons of God, it will never again go through its mourning and its heartaches and its pains and its misery. So then, that means that we are waiting to wit the redemption of our body. But we've got to remember that even though we are waiting to wit the redemption of the body, our inner man, our spiritual being, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the indwelling Christ, that this man is complete. You, your spirit, you're complete within that indwelling one as to the measure that God gave you before the world ever was, in Christ Jesus by faith. So then, we can go on to a full reward. But the thing is, Christ on the inside of you is trying to redeem your body. That spirit on the inside of you is trying to redeem your creature. Though it's already redeemed as to the price paid for it, yet the devil is still in the world. And your body is still in the world. Your spirit is not in the world. At death of your body by Calvary, your spirit went back to God who gave it. And it is in heaven. Your inner man is in the kingdom of God, which kingdom is within you. And your body is dead in the sight of God by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible said as many has been baptized into Christ has put on a new body. They put on Christ. When you were baptized into Christ, then you put on Christ. See, there's a baptism of water, there's a baptism of fire, there's a baptism of the Spirit, and maybe sometime we'll preach on baptisms, the doctrine of baptism. But anyway, when you're baptized, then you put on the Lord Jesus. You've buried your body, and you've come up in the newness of life, and God then sees you as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. There's a natural body, a spiritual body. You have thus become a new body because you have put on a new body. And God sees your new body from then on. And though you stumble and though you stagger, God doesn't charge it against you, because there is no sin to the new body. There is no sin to the body of the Lord Jesus. See, you are now the body of the Lord Jesus. See, I say to you, We are already sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? Now doth not appear what ye should be like, so far seeing that, because your body, you're still looking at your body. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, but there is a body of Christ, and this body of Christ is what God is looking at. God is looking at you. Ever since you were baptized into Christ, you came up with a new body. And ever since then, he's seen you as bone and flesh of his flesh. Because God looks way over the chasm and sees you over here in Revelation 19. You're already changed. He gave this to you in Christ before the world ever was. So it has to run its transitional period as to the changes. But God already sees you like that. He doesn't see your body anymore. It's gone. If he saw your body, then he would see you as a sinner, and he would condemn you to hell. But in the body of sin is dead, as I read to you here. Therefore, you are justified by faith in what Christ did for you. What God brought in Christ before the world ever was, he did it that for you. He made you perfect in what he wanted you to be. He made Christ to be that. And then he gave you that benefit as to what he made Christ to be. And then what we are in our sinful body, he destroyed that, buried that, put that away to where you would never look at the bastard image again. As to the first birth of Adam, and he said in the morning, I'll despise your image. If you don't make that change, if you don't get born again, if you don't die out of that, he's going to despise your image. See, because you're still going to appear before him in the body of what he referred to as the old person or the old man, that which is passed on and gone. Of course, tonight we can't get into this. It would take too long. But I just wanted to say a few little things here. So then you see that we are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are now new to us. And we are a new creature in Christ. We are in a new world. So that's why I say, why bother with the flesh when it profiteth nothing? Why go out like a grave robber? Why mess with that out there? That's why I say that you don't go in and out and sin. Them. People who go out in the world and do those things, they couldn't be dead. If they were dead, how could they live any longer therein, Paul said. Paul said, it's obvious that those people aren't dead. They're dead in trespasses and sin, but not dead in the sight of God, but the body of the Lord Jesus. Dead unto sin. See, they are much alive, and they go out there and they do the things of the world, and they are still illuminated to the extent that the blood is on the seat of atonement. They can go to church. They can do what they want to. Even their preachers can transform their minds as from their old gullible filth and talk about this word right here. Go to college and learn about it and these kind of things. They can do that. Even Lucifer can transform himself into an angel of light. He can actually appear to you as an angel of light. That is like he appeared to Jesus when he began to quote the scripture. For the word of God is light. And he can appear to you in a scriptural form. And he can talk to you and it sound just like God. You couldn't tell the difference unless you have the Spirit. See, and looking at the world, you couldn't tell the difference between the elect and those that are illuminated just because of the blood being on the seat of atonement through grace. You couldn't tell the difference. It'd be so close. But you have a discernment on the inside. You have an understanding from God on the inside. And I don't care how religious somebody is, how churchy they are. I don't care how much they talk about the Word of God. There's something in your spirit that will not relate to their spirit. It won't relate to their spirit. There's something that just absolutely will not lock in with their spirit. Because they are not born of the Spirit of God, and they don't have the indwelling of Christ on the inside. So it just won't make connection. I was just telling my wife today of some that's been here among us, some that's been in the pulpit, and they preach to you. I said, but my spirit has never locked in with theirs. I've never made it with their spirit as to a brotherhood or whatever. We've never come together. The Bible said to know someone after the spirit, not after the flesh. as to his worldly degrees, his ability, his money, his understanding of what he's accomplished in the world, his wealth. Not to know him as that, but to know him after the Spirit. To find out if he's got the Spirit of God. Try the Spirit to see if he's got the Spirit of God. So then we're back to the body again. The differentiating between the body and the Spirit. You are not of the body. You're born of the Spirit. And your body is now dead. The old body of sin. And you are now the body of the Lord Jesus. He sees your body. You are divorced from your husband as to being in bondage until death. He is now dead by the body of Jesus. And you are now married to another, even the resurrected one. Not as to the first man, Adam, but you are married now unto a new body. Your inner man, your spirit, is now married to a new person, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So then now, it is a different situation with you altogether. We are married to the resurrected one. And when you are married, that means you are bone of his bone, and you are flesh of his flesh. See, your body now belongs to God. And God has moved out the infiltration. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. There is a terrestrial body, there is a celestial body. And the Bible speaks of the different kind of flesh. There is one flesh of men, there's another of birds, there's another of beasts. Why did Paul say that? He spoke of the glory of one being different from the glory of another, as to the celestial, as to the celestial. Why did he speak of different kinds of flesh? Because we are now flesh of his flesh, the glorified flesh. And we are bone of his bone, the glorified bone, as to the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular of his body. So then when God looks at us, he looks at us as his bride. He looks at us as his body. He looks at us as the redeemed, all the children of the resurrection. He now sees us as a holy body. The Bible said, be holy in body and in spirit. We are holy in spirit by new birth. But now because of Jesus and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a holy body now. A holy body of flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. So then we are holy people. We are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. And we have an eternal body, which you can't see now. But we have an eternal body. For the Bible said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, that is, my inner man is tabernacling within this human body. And if this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, a house in the heavens, not made with hands. For the Bible said, you're God's house. So we have another one, a house of glory. We have another one, which is a celestial. I've borne the image of the earthly, which is the first man, Adam. Now my spirit has come out of the first man, Adam. That body is dead and gone and buried. And now I've entered into the body of the Lord Jesus as to the Lord seeing me. And I'm now bearing the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Doth not yet appear what he shall be like, because he's a quickening spirit and you cannot see him with your natural eyes. But one day, Revelation 19, he's returning. And the Bible says that everyone that desires his return, that loves his appearing, everyone that sees him as he is, they shall be like him. So then it is a true fact that we are the body of the Lord Jesus, and it will be made manifest, it will be presented, it will be revelated to us by the Spirit now, and then shown to us later as we see this glorious thing in the change as we wait for the dead to be resurrected. Well, anyway, I could go on and go on talking about the wonderful things of God as to the body. See, you are in for a great, marvelous thing. We are working with the body. We are working with the body not unto salvation, but unto a change. You already have salvation. You already have power. And the power is already coming to the receptacle, coming through the filament or the mechanism on the inside of the globe. It's already doing that. The power is already coming to that. And because of that, that inner soul lights up with the glory of God as to the filament. And because of that, the spirit that brings power to the inner part, it's called the baptism of fire. See, the baptism of spirit is to the power. The baptism of fire is as to the soul, the little flame that the light comes from. See these little flames inside the globe here. And then, as the power begins to increase, it's not fire, it's light. There's three dimensions of that as to. There is a fire, and there is a light. Isn't that right? You have a fire, you have a light. So then that means that there is, as we would say, fire and heat and light. We've got three things. A low current will bring heat, and like this would burn up the filament. That is to be lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But if the power comes in right, it's not heat. It becomes a light, because it becomes a blaze of fire in such brightness as if you was welding something when you came to look at that light, or as the noonday sun. The sun is the ball of fire, but the light is so brilliant, it becomes a light. See, and the light is the glorification of your body. Moses, talking with God, illuminated even outwardly. His face was so aglow. Stephen's face aglow. Jesus, his raiment glistened. He was whiter than the snow as he stood on the mount in glory. See, this glorifying is that of the light. And the light is the understanding. This is the thing I'm trying to tell you. The Spirit comes into your spirit. But the thing that brings the glorification is the light. So then the power comes to you, and you have that power when you're baptized with the Spirit. So then you are baptized into Christ. You put on the clothes as to the body, as to the new garment. When you go into the presence of God, you won't be found with the filthy garments of the flesh. See, so the radiation of this knowledge, the understanding presents a light. That light is an understanding. So the knowledge of God brings you an understanding. And this understanding, as Solomon said, with wisdom get understanding. And this wisdom, when you get this wisdom, it brings you this light. It brings you this great glorification of God. It brings you that special light. And you are all aglow. This is the redemption of your body. And that's why Moses glowed. As it would have been with Adam and Eve, it would have been the same thing, because they were illuminated with the presence of God, but they lost it. The world today is illuminated to the extent that they're professors and all kind of great intelligence, and that is still the light. But it is a dark light, and they are looking at God through a glass darkly, which is their intellectual concept of things. You're children of light. You're children of the brilliance. You're children of the glory. He hath given you his own glory. As he said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. He's given you the same glory, because this is the light. This is the life. This is the eternal life of God. It is going into your blood genetics. It's going into your very body. Wisdom makes a man's face to shine. So I'm saying again, as the Stephens, they could not behold his countenance because it was as that of an angel, because of the wisdom that he had been endowed with. I want the light. I want to walk in the light. We sing the song, I'll walk in the light. I love to walk in the light. I just love to walk in the light. This thing is wonderful to me, the understanding, being enlightened. And so then the great understanding of God come, and now is made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And we have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels since Calvary. We sing, this is the day. This is the day of the day star dawning in our heart. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. This is God's day. John was in the Spirit on God's day, the Lord's day. We say the Sabbath day. Well, that means his day of rest. Working 6 days, he rests on the seventh. A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day with God. No tomorrow, no yesterday. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to stop right here because we could go on and on and on into these things to really get into some deep water. But I keep bringing it back to you, these things, and that is to remember we are supposed to be working toward the change of the body. Working toward the change to make manifest in the creature the liberty of the inner sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? Inner sons of God. To bring the creature into this liberty, which means free him from the vanities of death and the carnality of death. All right, let's stand together. We could go on and on. I hope you can understand what we're saying. I said I wouldn't keep you long. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy to tell you that there's a risen Savior and that ye are the children of the resurrection. At the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross. You know what the cross is? That's the crossing between heaven and earth. You got to get over Calvary. See, that's the door. That's the travail. That's the sacrifice. When you come to the door, you'll find the covering cherubs with a flaming sword. It has to do with the ministry. I'll make my ministers a flame of fire. And when you come to Calvary, you got to shell off. You got to get out of the cocoon, pass through the stages of the metamorphosis, and come out on the other side a spiritual being. Because at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. And Jesus is your death. When you come to Calvary, he died for you. That's the shelling off. That's the leaving behind of the flesh. When you come to acknowledge Calvary and you repent of your sins and you're willing to die to your body, to yourself, to hate your own life, to mortify the deeds of the body, to kill out the outer person that's called the old man, do away with him. Until you come to that, you don't even have a chance. And if you find repentance, if it's been granted unto you, then you'll kill out and you'll die right there. And your spirit will go to God who gave it, as the Christ that left the body of Jesus, and someday return as Jesus picked up his body. So will your spirit someday return. He said, and I will bring with me the saints of God. Revelation 19, the white horse. So then, if you've never found Calvary, then you need to find Calvary. Killed all to the day long, counted as sheep to the slaughter. Not just anybody that he'll accept. It has to be a lamb without spot. He won't accept it. When you can bring yourself, your body, as a lamb without spot, as to self-denial, then he'll accept it. And that'll be your atonement. You say, but Brother Pike, Jesus atoned for my sins. I know that. That's who you are, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And when you come as Jesus and you sacrifice that body, the spirit will go back to God who gave it. So then you'll find yourself as to the transformated Christ, to that wonderful Jesus, not knowing him anymore after the flesh, but after the Spirit, in that Adam was made a living soul, Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. So then, let's be transformed by the renewing of our minds, translated by our spirit into His spirit, transfigurated from this body as to the bodily change into His wonderful likeness, as it was with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. Can we sing together? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. That's why people kneel around in front of the pastor. Oh, there's room at the cross. That came out of Jesus' mouth, the two-edged sword, which was the Word. And them cherubs are standing there with that two-edged sword. And you can come and find a place of repentance and lay down the firstborn, that you might pass through that flaming sword to get back into the garden. At the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burden of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. You know, we speak a lot of times about wasting our life. Just plain wasting our life. Day after day doing nothing. Minds constantly occupied by thoughts. That's nothing more than a waste. Nothing more than a waste. Nothing more than a waste. Let's sing this look. As you travel along down life's pathway, is your heart filled with bitterness and tears? And have you no hope for tomorrow? Is your life just a life of waste? Years. Can you sing it with me? Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish as you stumble along in sin and tears. Turn around, turn around. God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Can you sing that with me? Wasted years, oh wasted years, oh how foolish as you stumble along in sin and tears. So turn around, for God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Sing it one more time. Oh, wasted years, wasted. Oh, how foolish.
as you stumble along in sin and tears. So turn around, turn around, for God, He's calling. He's calling you from a life. Can you sing it one more time? Wasted years. I wonder how many years you and I have really wasted. I really wonder how many years. You know, we keep going along day after day. Keep moving right along. And yet at the same time, even now, we're still wasting the days. And the days eventually comes to wasted years. And no doubt the man that wrote this song got to thinking about a wasted life. How that he'd wasted his life when he could have laid up heavenly treasures. My God, my God. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish as you stumble along in sin and tears. So turn around, for God is calling, and He's calling you from a life of wasted years. One more time. Wasted years. So turn around, turn around, for God's calling. He's calling from a life of wasted years. Wasted years. Oh, how foolish. I think back in my own life, and I think of all the great, mighty things that I could have done for God. Even though I've tried, since I've been a real young man, I've tried. But I still look back and see how great and mighty the things I could have done for God. But then I look back, and in a measure, still wasted years. Wasted years. Some of you can't even look back on anything that you've done for God. You've wasted your years and your time until you can't look back and find anything that you've done for God. And that's sad, folks, because it's sad for me to look back and see any time that I've wasted. And some of you are really sad to the extent that you know that you've not made any real sacrifice or effort for Christ. And you know what? It seems to me like when I tell you these things and I bring these things to your memory, that you would want to, with all of your heart, make a special sacrifice and an effort as to run to get to these things for God. Seems to me like you would. But of course, everybody has their own life and they have to make their own decisions. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, and all to Him I now resign. For I have been, sing that with me now, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, and all to Him I now resign. For I have been redeemed. and all to Him I now resign. Let's sing this little chorus. Let's worship the Lord for just a few minutes and then I'll let you go. Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, the tomb, it's empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For He's gone over death's triumph. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and He lives forevermore. Oh, He's gone, and the stone it's rolled back. Gone. And the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and He lives. Take away the heart of stone, for He's gone. Said, I'll take out the heart of stone, and I'll place within you a heart of flesh, and I'll write my laws upon the table of your heart. And Paul said, in that love of God will constrain me to walk within His love. For He's gone. Over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and He lives. Sing it again with me. For now He's gone, I saw the stone all rolled back, gone. I saw the tomb, it's simply gone. To sit at my Father's side. For He's gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated, gone. And He lives. For He's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone. Tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For He's gone, over death triumph. Sin is defeated, gone, and He lives forevermore. Give me another key for me. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll serve the living God that has control, and if my faults are the sunshine, I'll be happy. Oh, can you sing that with me? We'll let tomorrow. Serve the living God that has come. control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Will that tomorrow be tomorrow? Will just serve that living God that has control. Old time religion. love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's so, give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Me sing when I get happy, sing when I get happy, sing when I get happy, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, it's good enough. So give me that old religion, old time religion, old time religion, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion. Can you sing that with me, folks? Oh, give me that old time religion. Old time religion, old time religion, 'cause it's good enough. I've got that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, 'cause it's good enough. You better get old time religion. Old time religion, old time religion, it's good enough. Oh, give me that old time religion, the old time religion, old time religion, and that's good. So give me that old time religion. Old time religion, old time religion. Wonder how many of you've got it. I've got that old time religion, that old time religion. What kind of religion is that? Pure and undefiled religion. I've got that pure undefiled religion. Pure undefiled religion, and it's good enough. Got that old time religion, old time religion. If you've got old time religion, it'll take you to heaven. It'll take you to heaven. I love that old time religion. Old time religion, I love that old time religion. Can you sing that with me? We love that old time religion, that old time religion, old time religion, it's good enough. One more time. I've got that old time religion, that old time religion, old time religion, friend, it's good enough for me. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. I know you might be a little tired on this cold winter night, but my, just think, we've got that old time religion. You know, it ain't a song with Brother Pike. I've got that old time religion. Have you got that old time religion? Hallelujah. You say, well, what will it do? It makes me love everybody. Love everybody. Love your enemies. Everybody. Do good to them that despitefully use you. I've got that old time religion. Does it affect you that way? Says to feed the widows, the orphans. Want to do something, evangelize the world. We've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. goody. Sing it with me now. We've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. And it's singing again. I can feel the Holy Ghost. Time religion. Hallelujah. Old-time religion. And it's deep down in my soul. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. Let's give him a wave offering. Oh, got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. Can you sing it again? We've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time. I want to sing it again. Come on, folks, if you got it. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. Free to everybody. Time religion. And it's one more time. I've got that old-time religion, old-time religion, old-time religion, and it's deep down inside of me. I've got that old-time religion, old-time religion, got that old-time religion, and it's good. Can you sing it one more time? We've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. And it's good. Can you sing it one more time? We've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. And it's good. It will take us all to heaven. Take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's, I've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. And it's good enough. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to praise the Lord, to love Him and to sing about His wonderful praises. Over and over we sing these songs. Sometimes we add another one. But we sing these songs over and over because we're the redeemed of the Lord. And praise is comely for the upright. And I praise the Lord with you after services so that we can get into the praises of God. And the praises of God can get on the inside of us to praise Him because God is a spirit and He inhabits the praise of His people. And when we speak this word, we speak this word and we're expecting you to turn it into spirit, that you turn it into praise and worship. As you listen to this wonderful word, the word mixed with faith becomes spirit and it becomes life. But not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them that heard it. But you mixing faith with the word, then the word becomes spirit and life. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life, because in the beginning was God, the spirit of life." So then when we sing these songs and we worship God, that's why I'm doing that with you. I want you to really get into praises and to love Him. Not into wildness, even though you might shout and dance. There's nothing wrong with that. You might holler and scream praises in His name. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, but I want it to be a real, genuine, true worship of the Lord. To praise God in the dance is beautiful. David praised God in the dance. To praise Him as you shout aloud, it's beautiful. To to praise Him in tongues, to praise Him in any way. Sometimes to praise Him in a voice of prophecy. When you go to praising God, the gifts a lot of times will go to moving. And things will begin to happen in your life. That's why I tarry a lot of time. Not just to sing songs, but for you to get loose that the Spirit might start moving in your life. For if you ever get excited in faith, there's no telling what you'll do. Because God is in your heart and the gifts is within your heart. Because you're the church and the gifts are in the church. Because He said He placed the gifts in the church. And so many times the Lord has spoke through me in prophecy. Tongues or interpretation are moved on me through the healing of the sick or in a word of wisdom or a word of understanding or discernment, whatever. You know, just as I begin to praise God, God begin to do that. We rob ourselves a lot of times, you know. It's like the songwriter said, oh, what grief we often bear because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. To praise Him, to love Him. The Bible said all of the diseases come upon you because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness of heart. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you've learned to love the Lord, to have joy and jubilance in your heart in praising God, in serving God, you wouldn't have those sicknesses. Because jubilance of heart, even scientists have learned that a sound heart is the health of the body. And when you get joy like a river, then that's when something really happens to you. I've got joy like a river. Joy like a river. I've got joy like a river in my soul. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. Peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace, peace forever. I've got peace, peace forever. I've got joy like a river in my soul. I've got health like a river. Health like a river. I've got health like a river. Do you believe that? By His stripes you're healed. Everything you want. All things that pertain unto life. I've got health. Come on, folks, let's be healthy. I've got health like a river. Health like a river. I've got health like a river in my soul. I've got health, health forever. I've got health. Hell forever. I've got hell. Can you sing with me? I've got strength like a river. I've got strength, strength forever. I've got strength like a river in my soul. I've got strength like a river. I've got strength, strength forever. I've got strength like a river in my soul. Oh, we've got joy just like a river. Joy just like a river. We've got joy like a river in our soul. I've got that joy that's like a river. Got that joy like a river. I've got joy like a river in my soul. So everything's gonna be alright. Things gonna be, cause we got joy like a river. Save my soul, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright since Jesus came. Save my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Things gonna be all right since Jesus came. Save my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Be all right since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Can you praise Him? In the morning, not too cold. When it's hot, when it's cold, whatever it is, we'll still praise Him. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun is going down. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noon time. Love. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him when the sun. For sometimes I feel like heaven's come down, heaven's come down, heaven's come down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down, heaven's come down on me. So I wanna pray. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. I want to love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. And let's love Him, folks. Won't be long. We'll be going into the Philippines. And for a few days, we won't get to do this with you. Well, I think I'll praise the Lord just while I have a chance. Think I'll praise the Lord just while I have a chance. I'll think I'll praise the Lord just while I have a chance. Cause I may not have this chance. He may call you anytime. So I think I'll glorify Him just while I have a chance. I think I'll glorify Him just while I have a chance. I think I'll glorify Him just while I have a chance. Cause I may not have this chance. Come on, folks. Well, I think I'll praise His name just while I have a chance. Think I'll praise His name just while I have a chance. Think I'll praise His name just while I have a chance. I may not have a chance. Come on now. Oh, let us praise the Lord just while we have a chance. Oh, let us praise the Lord just while we have this chance. Oh, let us praise the Lord just while we have this chance. Cause we may not have. Can you praise the Lord with me? Well, I'm going to praise the Lord just while I have this chance. I'm going to praise the Lord just while I have this chance. I'm going to praise my Lord just while I have this chance. Cause I may not have this chance anymore. Did you know that tonight the Lord could call one of you tonight? He could call me. And then this chance to praise the Lord would forever be gone. It would forever be gone. To praise Him in the presence of the saints. To glorify His name in the presence of the saints. You have that chance now to be a light for Jesus. To praise Him. To glorify Him. I'd love to do everything that's possible to love Him. To please Him. To be like Him. That's the desire of my heart. The testimony of Jesus was that He did all things to please the Father, always. And the testimony of Enoch, before it was translated by faith, was that he pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Won't be long before we'll be standing in the presence of the Filipino people as we've done in the past. My, I hope some of you are there to see that choir when they go to praise the Lord. I've seen them praising the Lord, loving the Lord. And all of a sudden, the power of God will begin to move and they just can't stand it anymore. And one of them will drop down on their knees and they'll see another drop down and tears will begin to stream down their hands up, you know, loving the Lord. And you can feel the atmosphere charged with the power of God. Because it's a big choir. It's lots and lots of girls and boys that's singing. Men and women that's singing praises unto the Lord. It takes them a little while. They started about, oh, I don't know. They start early. And they go on and go on and go on. Start early in the evening and they go on and go on and go on singing and praising the Lord. And people don't get tired. And they don't get weary. And the people, thousands of them, are praising the Lord. They love the Lord. They love the Lord. You want to praise the Lord just a little. Sometimes you think, you know, we praise the Lord around here and we sing 10 or 15 songs or maybe 6 or 7 songs. And sometimes you think we've overdone it. But that's because you get in your carnal reasoning and you're not really praising the Lord. You're just going through habit and routine. And you're waiting for me to sing the last chorus so you can go home. That's the problem. You love the Lord?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's sing another chorus or two, can we? Give me a key. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. I'm shouting the victory. We're shouting, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven. Can you sing that with me? Oh, this is like heaven to me. You see, these youth, they love to do this. They got plenty of energy and plenty of strength, and they're going to do something with it. Why not let get together and use it up for God? You say, but I ain't got that kind of energy. If you'll praise Him, you'll have it. Be strong in the power of His might. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. We're shouting the victory. We're shouting the victory. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven. to me. My friend, this is heaven to me. My friend, this is heaven to me. I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and I'm in heaven, you see. Oh, I'm in heaven, you see. Yes, I'm in heaven, you see. I've crossed over death, left it behind, and I'm in heaven, you see. Oh, yes, it's heaven to me. Oh, yes, it's heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is heaven to me. Can you sing with me? Oh, this heaven to me. Oh, this is heaven to me. I have crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is heaven to me. Sing it with me now. Yes, I'm in heaven, you see. Yes, I'm in heaven, you see. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and I'm in heaven. Sing it again. Oh, this is, remember now, the Bible says that you're not in the world. For I've chosen you out of the world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And he said, you're sitting together in the heavenly places. He said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. Jesus said, I'm in heaven. Oh, this is heaven to me. Oh, this is real heaven to me. How many is in the kingdom of heaven? Already in the kingdom of heaven? God has translated you into the marvelous kingdom of heaven. And this is... Let's sing it again. My faith is the victory. My faith is my victory. I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. My faith is the victory. Can you sing it again? My faith is my victory. My faith is my victory. Don't ever cast away your faith, which hath great recompense of reward. To Canaan's fair land, my faith is my victory. My faith is my victory. By faith, heaven I see. I've crossed over Jordan, the old carnal mind of death, and I'm shouting the victory. My faith is my victory. My faith is my victory. Do you believe it? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You know what I think? I think I'm in heaven. By faith, Brother Gerald, that's what he said. My faith is my victory. Faith in the Word. My faith is my victory. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. Over the carnal mind, now that's Jordan. Remember when we sing that? You've crossed over your carnal reasoning. My faith is my victory. Crossed over the carnal mind now. In the mind of Christ. It's faith in the mind of Christ to think like God now. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. My faith is my victory. Just shall live by faith. Just one more time. My faith, save me. Save me from death. My faith, save me. Took me over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. My faith is my victory. Can you sing it one more time? By faith, my homeland I see. By faith, that homeland I see. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. I'm shouting the victory. Going to sing it one more time. My faith is my victory. My faith is my victory. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. My faith is my victory. All right, let's give him another hand. My faith is my victory. Can we sing just another chorus or two? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of my valley. He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Can you sing it again? Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley. Did you know God loves this? Jesus loved to hear you sing praises to his name. The fairest of 10,000. Do you believe he really is? Let's tell him that again. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Now let's tell the world what Jesus is. He is the lily of my valley, and He's my bright and morning star. And He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor and a Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. For He's saving me and He's keeping me. Sin and shame, wonderful is my Redeemer. Glory to His name. For He's wonderful, He's wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor, He's the Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. He's saving me and He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory. For He's wonderful, He's wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor, He's the Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. For He's saving me and He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my glory. Can you sing it again? Said He's wonderful, He's wonderful, that Jesus is to me. He's my Counselor, He's the Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. Saving me and just keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is this Redeemer. We're going to sing it again. Oh, He's wonderful. He's wonderful that Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. He's saving me and just keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory. If you feel like you've been in church tonight, say hallelujah. Glory to God, that made me feel like I was in church tonight. Let's give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, folks. Let's lift our hands up. Let's close our eyes tonight to worship God. I'm going to ask Brother Gerald Williams. Gerald, come up here and dismiss us, will you? While Gerald is coming tonight, let's worship the Lord. Let's love Him in spirit and love Him in truth tonight. Let the Holy Ghost rule and reign in your heart. He's redeeming the creature. He's redeeming your body. He wants to make that body glisten like Jesus did standing on the mountain. And He's wanting to make it strong and beautiful and holy and wonderful and clean and upright so that He can look at it forever. Somebody say hallelujah.